Good morning, and welcome to the Spirit of Grace, where God's Word and message are brought to you by Grace Lutheran Church in New Albany, Indiana.
The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 20th chapter. On the evening of that first day of the week, the disciples were together, locked behind closed doors for fear of the Jews. And Jesus suddenly appeared in the midst of them and said, "Peace be with you." He then showed them his hands and his side, and the disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again he said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Anyone whose sins you forgive, they are forgiven. And anyone whose sins you do not forgive, they are not forgiven." Now Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples said to him, "We have seen the Lord." But Thomas said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks and could put my finger where the nails were, and unless I can put my hand into his side, I will not believe it." A week later, the disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. And though the doors were locked, Jesus suddenly stood in the midst of them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your hand here. Look at my hands. Take your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." And Jesus said to Thomas, "You have believed because you have seen. But blessed are those who will believe who have not seen." Now, Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. This is the gospel of our Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father, through our Lord and our risen Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear friends in Christ Jesus, in particular my 9 young friends, who get easily confused by a white rope. That was pretty good. I wonder if you folks can tell me what the following 4 dates have in common. The first one, I got to look at it here. The first one is April 9th, 1865. The second one is November 11th, 1918. The next one is May 8th, 1945. And the fourth one is August the 14th, 1945. Anybody want to hazard a guess as to what those 4 dates have in common? The ends of wars. Yeah. Jim Ferber?
No.
I should have known better than to call on you. That's right. No, all 4 of those are the end dates of wars. The first one in 1865 was the day that Robert E. Lee's Confederate forces surrendered to Grant's Union forces at Appomattox Courthouse. The November 11th, 1918 was the day the armistice was signed that ended World War I. The May 8th date in 45, that was the That was VE Day, victory in Europe. And the August 14th date was VJ Day, victory over Japan. So all four of those all have in common this one thing. They all meant peace, right? The end of the war, hard fought, hard won, peace finally came back into America. Or did it? Because when the Civil War ended, then came Reconstruction, and Reconstruction gave rise to the KKK, and the KKK gave rise to the Jim Crow laws that were so prevalent in the South for so long after that. And when the armistice was signed, the Treaty of Versailles made it so difficult for the Germans that they had inflation that you read about people taking wheelbarrows full of money to go buy a loaf of bread. And because of that, National Socialism rose. You and I know that better as Nazism. And of course, a guy named Adolf Hitler came on the scene. And when you think about the end of World War II, you'd like to think there was peace, but almost immediately we got into the Cold War, and then Korea, and then the nuclear race, and then Vietnam. And so, time and time again, when the world says peace is at hand, we get anything but peace. In our gospel lesson today, three times, Jesus comes to the apostles in the resurrection and says, "Peace be with you." But I wonder, what kind of peace? Because almost immediately we read that John and Peter were arrested and put in prison. The next time they were arrested, they were flogged. We almost immediately had Stephen being stoned to death for being the voice of Jesus. And then we have the start of the Jewish persecution, and a guy named Saul rises up and begins to persecute the church. And even when Saul is converted into Paul, almost right on his heels comes the Roman persecutions. And we end up with things called the Colosseum, and lions, and flaming torches made out of human beings. And again, folks, that does not sound much like peace. So when Jesus comes to the apostles and Jesus says, "Peace be with you," what kind of peace is Jesus bringing? What kind of peace is he giving them, and through them, what kind of peace is he giving to us? Well, I would say, let's start out by talking about what peace is not. And if you would indulge me a little bit, I'd like to speak to these nine people here in particular. So the world says to you and me that you can have peace. But you know what that peace comes by? They say, if you really want to have peace, well, you got to get a diploma from the right kind of college, okay? Even if it costs your mom and dad $500,000, okay? That's okay. It's mom and dad having to make that payment. Yeah, that's going to get you peace. Or maybe they say, you're going to have the right retirement package so that when you retire some 60 years from now, well, when you retire, you want to be able to do all the things you've always wanted to do. Or they'll tell you that peace is having that corner office on a high floor in your company's headquarters. Or they're going to tell you that peace means that you'll have 6 paid weeks of vacation every year. Or maybe it'll be just as simple as, you can have peace if you have a nice cold can of Rocky Mountain cold brewed beer. Or the right barbecue sauce on your ribs when you have friends over. Or having the right orthodontist or the right orthopedics guy or having a doctor in your family. That'd be the way to go. That would give you peace, right? Or maybe it might be just as simple as having a very good and effective deodorant. That will bring you peace. But as young as you are, you know that that's crock. None of those things bring you peace, because every one of those things eventually turns into dust. There's nothing to build a future on those things. They last, but they last only until they're used up, until they're gone, or until your life comes to an end. And then where's the peace in that? They talk a lot about peace at Christmas time too, don't they? Yeah, even the non-Christians like to take that line that the angels said, peace on earth, goodwill towards men, and they say, yes, that's the meaning of Christmas, is that we should all get along. You know, we'll all get along together. But how long does that last? It doesn't last very long either. We have people that get shot to death every Christmas Eve across the country and around the world on Christmas Eve. That's not the kind of peace that the angels were proclaiming. That's not the kind of peace that Jesus gives either. Now, you guys knew some peace about 2 weeks ago today, huh? When you were sitting in the hot seat, and I said, thank you for that. You can go back to your seat. Hey, you had peace then, didn't you? I could see it. I saw it on every face, all nine of you. I saw the peace come that no one could understand except those that have gone through this before, yeah? Those that have had confessional Sunday, they understood it, but not everybody does. But how long did that peace last? It lasted for half an hour, half a day, half a week. And then other things came along that took your peace away. That cannot be the kind of peace that Jesus is talking about. Oh, and then there's also the peace that comes from being defeated. I had a very good friend. Her name was Erna McIntyre. She was a German, and she lived through World War II in Germany. And she talked to me and told me about what peace was like when the Americans won. She told me about the first time that word came through their village that an American column was headed for their town. Everybody ran and hid. There wasn't a person on the street when the Americans rolled down the street. Everybody was hiding in basements and cellars and attics because they didn't know what the Americans were going to do. And then when they found out that the Americans were not the vindictive type, then she talked about how they would stand out on the road, and as the cars, the trucks and the columns went by, they begged for whatever the GIs would toss to them, whether that was cigarettes or gum or Hershey bars, because they didn't have anything. They had nothing. They were without for weeks. They just eked out an existence and didn't know where tomorrow's dinner was going to come from. And then she told me, you know, she married a GI, and 5 years later she found herself living in Japan, another nation that knew peace, peace at a price. And she talked about how there were widows everywhere in Japan because the Japanese men didn't surrender. They fought to the death. And so all these widowed Japanese women, they worked as scrub maids, and they worked as laundresses, and they worked as housekeepers and house cleaners and cooks, and they worked for whatever the Americans would pay them. But that's also not peace. That's not the kind of peace Jesus is bringing. Trouble is, trouble and sorrows and grief and pain and death, I'm sorry to tell you guys, but those things are going to dog you all of your life. This is what we have in this world. Oh, there are marvelous and wonderful times like Confirmation Day, but we also have these other things that come to steal our peace away. And the peace that the world offers doesn't stand up in those moments in your life. The world can't offer you anything when somebody that you love dies. The world just puts a period at the end of the obituary and says, well, that's it. That's the end of the story. We're sorry for your loss. There's no peace in that either. Did you see the video last week on Easter Sunday from Sri Lanka? Did you see the video that they took that was inside the church, one of the churches that was exploded? Where you see all these Christians all worshiping, they're all celebrating the resurrection on Easter. And you see this young man with a backpack, very nonchalant. He just walks by. You see him walk by the side door on the front. You see him go by the windows. And then you see him come in through the back door on the side. And that's where the video stopped. But that's not where the video stopped, because you and I know that where the video stopped is when he was vaporized, when he detonated his bomb and killed a whole bunch of innocent Christian people for no reason that I can tell. That kind of stuff is out there. That's the kind of world we're in. And there is no peace in any of that unless you have the peace that Jesus gives. I want to read for you from in Revelation 1 in our epistle lesson today. You have these words of Jesus. He says, I am the living one. I was dead, but I am alive and I will live forever and ever. Folks, that's what we celebrated a week ago today. That's what we celebrate for the 6 weeks of Easter season. That's what we celebrate every single Sunday through the church year. We celebrate the fact that Jesus Christ is the living one. And because he lives, we have a promise that we are going to live too. And it's Easter that gives us the peace that the world cannot give. It is a peace that the world does not understand. Pastor and I conducted a funeral yesterday for Hilda Laird. Good, faithful Christian woman. And we talked about joy when the world could only see sorrow. We talked about life when the world could only see death. We talked about light when the world could only see darkness. We talked about those things because of Easter Sunday. Because Jesus Christ is the living one. He was dead, but now he lives. And because he lives, you and I have his word, his promise that we're going to live too. That Jesus that they saw on Easter morning was Christus Victor, the victorious Christ. He's overcome the grave. He's broken the hold that death had. He took the sin of all of us on himself. And having done that now, frees us and gives us a peace that holds us for the rest of our lives. Thomas had trouble with that, didn't he? When the others said to him, we have seen the Lord. What did Thomas say? I want proof. I want proof. And unless I get proof, I won't believe it. He's very worldly that way. Oh, there's a lot of people in this world that they like the story, but I got to have proof. Well, Jesus gives him proof, doesn't he? He says, here, put your finger here. Put your hand in my side. Stop doubting and believe. In one of the other gospel renditions there, when Jesus first appears, some of the apostles think he's a ghost. And Jesus says, here, touch me and see. Ghosts do not have flesh and bone as you see that I do. Jesus gives them sufficient evidence, and they give that evidence to us that says that this Jesus that they saw was not an apparition. It was not some kind of a group psychosis that they had. This was not some ghost come back to them. This is a real and living human Jesus Christ who, having overcome death in the grave, now brings to us something good. You nine, you were baptized. Pastor and I saw most of you as babies. Tells us that we're getting old. But it also means that we've watched you grow up. And today, you're simply going to reiterate what was said at your baptism all those 13, 14 years ago. You're simply going to reiterate that the gift you were given on that day is the gift that's yours and you claim it for yourself. And you're going to make this confession, the confession you made 2 weeks ago on Confessional Sunday, a confession that says, Jesus is my Lord. And I believe that Jesus Christ died for my sins, rose again so that I might have life. And it is a joy and a peace that nobody could give you, that the world doesn't understand. But it's a peace that is yours. And our prayer is that you will hold on to that. That peace will be yours now and all the way when you're 97 years of old age and you're laying on your deathbed and the doctor says, there's nothing more I can do. And you can say, I am at peace because I have Jesus. All the other accomplishments, all the other possessions, all the other relationships, they're all going to go by the wayside. Especially if you live to be 97. They might almost be gone. But this one thing that you received in your baptism, this thing that you're going to reiterate today, this peace that Jesus gives, That's something that you never, ever have to let go of. Jesus Christ came alive on Easter. You ever think about that? Why does Jesus show himself alive? Why does he do that? Is it for his glory? Nah. He doesn't need anything from you and me. He's God. He's got all the glory that anybody could ever use. He doesn't come alive and show himself to Mary Magdalene. He doesn't show himself alive to the apostles that evening. He doesn't walk with the apostles on the road to Emmaus. He doesn't do that so that he can be aggrandized. He does that to show himself the living one. He does that for our good, that we might have this hope, this promise, this peace that the world can never give. Jesus comes back for us, for the world, and says, "Here now, this I have done so that you might have life and have it in abundance." And so we celebrate Easter, not just one day. We celebrate it over and over again because it is the very foundation for our faith. It is the very thing that makes it worthwhile. It's the very thing that gives the church life. It's the very thing that gives us life. And so our prayer for you, Nine, is that that will be your joy, not just one day, not just on confirmation, but it'll be your confession and it'll be your peace now and for the rest of your lives. And may God grant that for his sake. Amen.
Defined by human beings or in this world always is threatening us, threatening your people. Those who carry the peace of Jesus Christ are keenly aware that the worldly peace cannot compare to the peace made by Jesus. We are forgiven in the cross. We have faith in the promise of eternal life, and it's been given. In Jesus, we have peace with God, one that Jesus gives, that hope that we receive overcomes death and the world. Settle our hearts on this peace. Make us bold to proclaim it in the real world that we constantly interact with, so that others may know also that real peace that comes in Jesus that has overcome the world. We pray, Lord, in your mercy. We also pray for those in need of healing, that you grant them true peace in Jesus' healing. Father, provide avenues of healing. Use the hands of surgeons to mend and restore. Use the talents of doctors and nurses to rally all that is good to their care. Give to them what is good and profitable for their minds and bodies, and renew their faith, so that in all things they may find refuge in their Savior. We pray, Lord, in your mercy. Hear our prayer. Prince of Peace, Almighty Father, our world is turned dark in many places by plague, by war and trouble, by peace that is stolen away. Malice caused by the evil ambitions and actions of hateful people that has brought much destruction in its wake. unseat these sinful people and replace them with something, someone good, with leadership that seeks the Creator. We also pray for your help for our own nation. Bring about more voices of peace and unity that have the power to rebuild trust and connection. We pray, Lord, renew the zeal for our Savior in public circles and refresh our country with a sound leadership with people who would bring peace. We pray, Lord, in your mercy. And Lord, we give thanks for your gift of baptism and for the promise that we receive in and through baptism. And now that our confirmants have been confirmed, confessed, and now publicly claim those promises that have come in Jesus Christ, we pray that they would remain steadfast in their faith. Hear our prayer today for Nevaeh and Kyle, for Ian and Nicholas, for Clara and Andrew, for Jonathan and Jackson and Cora, to overcome all obstacles to their faith. Help them to meet all their challenges with a firm confidence in your word. Give them opportunity to witness to that faith. And most of all, grant to them an undying loyalty to their Lord and Savior Jesus, so that in the end, they might hear those important words, "Well done, good and faithful servant." We pray, Lord, in your mercy. And Lord, we lift up all for whom we pray now, trusting in your mercy, through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, who lives and reigns with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Let us pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Thank you for listening this morning. We hope you have enjoyed this morning's message. If you have a desire to know more about our ministry at Grace Lutheran Church, or if you just want to comment about our radio program, we would love to hear from you. You can call us at 812-944-1267. You may also visit us on Facebook or at our website at glcna.org. We're located at 1787 Clinner Lane in New Albany, Indiana. We hope to hear from you soon. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you in His grace now and always.